Welcome to Dad's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome back to That's Wild, the podcast where we explore the amazing wild things in our state and our world. We've been having some fun with games lately, but today we're just throwing out the rule book, Joy.
So are we going way, way out there?
Uh-huh. Yes. Today's episode is going to be called What If?
What if?
Yep. What if you could run like a cheetah? What if you could jump like a kangaroo? What if you were strong enough to bench press a car?
I would say finally, all that hard work in the gym has paid off.
And you do like to go to the gym like
I'm
do,
in the gym every morning.
We do enjoy the gym.
Yeah.
Enjoy is probably a strong word.
That is true. I appreciate the benefits of going to the gym and doing the work.
That's right.
Yes.
But what if we could actually bench press a car?
Could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you already throw people around with judo, so that would be part of it.
We learned that in the last episode.
And we have a what if here because we've got Hannah here.
We did.
Yeah, what if Hannah had no animal? What would she say? We'll find out.
We'll find out what happens when Hannah doesn't have an animal with her. It's going to be a wild ride, y'all. For the next half hour, we're going to answer some of the wildest, weirdest questions we can dream up and pretend that there are no limits. What if humans had the unbelievable strength and speed and abilities of animals? Wouldn't that be fun?
No limits. That's a pretty awesome fantasy.
It is. Yeah.
We would still probably not beat a hippo in a triathlon. Even though you work out.
Well, and didn't you tell me you trained for a triathlon one time?
Okay, that's a fun story. Did you know I've trained for a triathlon?
No, I did not know
okay.
this.
Well,
tell us.
I used to be really into cycling, if you remember.
I do remember that.
So I would casually get off work and ride 50 miles multiple days a week.
Casually.
I was like, cool, I've got that.
I like how she said casually.
I was all right. And then running, I was like, I can run, no problem.
Okay.
I can't even do one lap in a pool. That derailed quickly. I never got past training.
Yeah, you could do two things, but not three.
A duathlon.
Yeah, the duathlon. You're a duathlete.
I'm not.
I could be. A don't athlete.
Yes, a don't athlete.
A don't athlete.
That's me.
Not a do athlete. Oh, joy. So funny. Yeah. Well, what if we could be more like animals? No self-doubt, just pure instinct. I don't know. Is that scary or do we like that? What do we think about that?
I like that. No anxiety, no emails.
You don't like that or you do?
No, I like the idea.
She said she liked it. No, she said no emails.
No emails. No traffic jams.
If you ever tried to get a hold of me in an email or a text, that would be great with no emails ever again.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
No traffic jams.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Just eat, climb, roar, nap, or peek.
Love that.
Okay.
Love that.
All right. Yeah. So, Joy, what if you could run like a cheetah?
I would use that talent efficiently. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't stand in line anywhere.
Okay. What's the first place that you would go and run
not stand in line? Starbucks or something like that. Yeah.
And okay. just, you know, the coffee,
yep. something like that.
What do you think they would put on your coffee cup? What name?
Because I would have run up to the front.
Yep.
Yeah. There's
that fast girl again.
There she goes.
Yep.
There's that fast girl.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, boy. You know, cheetahs can hit that 60 mile per hour faster than most speed limit, you know, so they are pretty fast. So,
but as I understand, it's only for a short burst. I can't do very long distances.
That is correct. It's only for a very short period of time. It's interesting how a lot of animals, their superpowers are only for short bursts. Mm-hmm. It's same thing with rhinos. Rhinos can only do like short bursts of energy whenever they get up to like a certain speed.
Mm-hmm.
Rhinos are also really funny to me because when they're like the females, when they're interested in males, they will like run into the male to test his strength, you
oh,
know,
wow.
like headbutt him at 30 miles per hour just to see like whether or not he can withstand the heat.
That's
you
what
know?
I used to do in college.
Hey, now. Hey, buddy.
Didn't work very well.
What'd they think of that, Hannah?
They loved it. They got lots of numbers.
Lots of numbers.
Extremely romantic.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
So what you're saying then is, you know, basically we're already cheetahs and rhinos already.
That's right. That's right.
Instincts.
Fast. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting, the animal world. We've just got all these different things that we can talk about in terms of what animals do and what they are. But there's a lot of different things that animals need, too. There's huge open spaces that they need, and those spaces are very quickly disappearing. And that is something, on a more serious note, you know, that we can talk about in terms of conservation, like what we can do to try to help animals in those spaces. When it comes to cheetahs, when it comes to rhinos, you know, there's a lot of conservation efforts out there to try to help animals in those open spaces. So that's something that we work with at the zoo, and it's something that we work with our conservation partners on, is helping to save a lot of those wild spaces and those wild places.
Exactly, which means we've got to work to make sure those animals have those habitats so they can thrive and live.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so what if you could be as strong as a gorilla?
What if you could be as strong as gorilla?
Mm-hmm. Maybe be able to open up that pickle jar a little bit better?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Gorillas are wild. They can lift over 10 times their own body weight. That's an interesting
skill. That is crazy.
Skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's a judo transferable skill, perhaps.
One of those JTSs, you know.
Judo transferable skill to JTS.
That's how she keeps us in line at the zoo.
I think so.
Little did you know. So. Just threaten those JTSs. You know, it was a fun party trick that I had in college. Mm-hmm. You know, after a few, I would just say, hey, come here, I can throw you around. It was
that voice.
In that exact voice.
See, guys, people are impressed by our
people
brute strength,
would
aren't they?
Never think that I could throw them. They'd be, that's you weird. Can't throw me. Just watch. Because, you know, judo is the art of defense. And mm-hmm. So it was about getting your waistline lower than others. And so you would just be able to throw people over your shoulder. It was really quite the skill. Okay. I'm not, yeah. I don't know if I could do it now.
Right.
We could demonstrate
only
it
one
now.
Way no. to find out.
Only one way to find out. Let's go.
I am not volunteering for that.
See, even our producers are a little nervous. They're throwing things around.
They're like,
I'm
not
seen.
Me.
They're like, oh gosh, I don't know.
He's right in the line of fire.
Right in the line of fire. Well, I will tell you, I feel like if I had all of these superpower strengths, you know, things like gorillas, et cetera, I mean, I could just carry people everywhere, which would also be interesting. You know, just throw Joy over my shoulder and pick her up and carry her. That would be an interesting thing to be able to do, right?
Climb on, folks. Climb on board.
Climb on board, you know? I mean, that's what gorillas do. I mean, mm-hmm. why not? I mean, what advantage would that have for humans? I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a reason why we don't have those superpowers, so.
And it's probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing, right? I guess. I don't know. I mean, we could just say, climb on, folks, let's go.
And you're talking about gorillas, you know, just even though they are powerful, they're quite gentle. I've heard some of our keepers talk about the new baby gorilla that we have, Benny, and his father, Kivu.
Yep.
He's been very, very gentle with him and actually kind of a little bit scared to touch him.
Yep.
They've seen him kind of tiptoe around him a bit because, but he is very gentle.
Yep.
And like cheetahs, their strength can't save them, though, from habitat loss.
Right.
As strong as they are, they still need our help.
Yes, they do. And that's the thing about a lot of animals is that even though they have all these superpower strengths, they still need humans to help them from habitat loss, from the many dangers that they face, because we are a lot of times their biggest threat. Humans are their biggest threat. So we have to do what we can to help them. And unfortunately, that is the case with many of the endangered species and threatened species that we have in our world. Mm-hmm. So here's one that I love. What if you could jump like a kangaroo?
What about you, Hannah? What if you could jump like a kangaroo?
I don't know. I'm thinking I wouldn't need help reaching things anymore. I could just hop up and get, you know, my wine glass from the top shelf. We'd be in good shape. But be careful bringing it down.
That's true. And I thought about that. And I was like, I wouldn't have to help those very nice guys in the grocery aisle to get things from the top part of the freezer. I'd do
that
for
you. So you could use that talent.
I could.
Dunking those basketballs left and right.
Yeah.
Yep. For
that's
sure.
Right.
For
sure. But kangaroos can leap over 3 times their height in one hop. And here's the catch. They depend on their grasslands, and droughts can make life tough on them.
Yes, definitely.
So again, they need our help.
And kangaroos, their numbers are in the millions. They still need our help. We need them and they need us. And so if we can protect the grasslands, then we can keep them hopping along happily ever after. Lots of great things here that we can do to help them and that they can do to help us.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. So, okay, serious question. Mm-hmm. What if the Little Rock Zoo didn't exist? What if accredited zoos just didn't exist?
That's really heavy.
I've thought about that a lot because I have a very specific skill set. You know, I have honed in my career being able to free fly birds, handle venomous snakes, scuba dive for the penguin pool.
Yeah.
What other job could I transfer those skills to?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, but I would have gone a different direction completely is what I would have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what direction that would have been?
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about this at work before. So if I didn't work with animals, we got to take all animal jobs off the table because I would just go into a different field with animals naturally.
Yep.
So a chef, Susan, you've eaten with me enough to know I love food.
You do love food.
You
That's
often
true.
Give me your leftovers. Thank you for that. Really love food.
She's the human garbage disposal.
Yeah. She likes to feed me sometimes, which is very appreciated.
Yeah.
Or writing. I really like to write. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't do it, but I used to, and I really enjoy it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Let's think for a minute, though, about if zoos didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Two, obviously, we would all be doing something different. Mm-hmm. But if zoos didn't exist, there were no conservation breeding programs. Mm-hmm. What would those animals be doing? What would it look like for instance, the black-footed ferret that we talked about? You know, how many black-footed ferrets were there before zoos intervened? 14?
There were like 18.
Like 18?
And that's one of many species.
Right. There probably wouldn't be black-footed ferrets anymore. Right. I think that they would be extinct. The California condor is another example. I think there wouldn't be any California condors left, which is a beautiful bird. What's the wingspan of a California condor?
Oh, it's huge. I'm going to throw a number out. I was going to say 9 feet.
Yeah,
but that's a guess.
It's 9 to 10 feet. So, yeah. I mean, it is when you see a California condor in the wild, it is absolutely one of the most beautiful things. It is just incredible. It is a huge bird. Beautiful bird, and to lose that species, it just would have been tragic. Mm-hmm. And what zoos have done to bring that species back from the brink is just incredible. And it's because of the expertise of people like you, Hannah, and others that are experts in breeding, experts in animal husbandry and care is the reason why we've been able to save species like the California condor and the black-footed ferret. And if we didn't have AZA-accredited zoos, we wouldn't have those beautiful animals here with us now.
And also, not only not having the animals themselves, but what havoc would be wreaked on the earth if we were imbalanced with animals that had natural predators and natural prey that for their food source, like we talked about ferrets and the prairie dogs, you know, what would happen if ferrets weren't there to help rodent population, or if we didn't have snakes, you know, that helped keep the rodent population down.
Right.
Well, and the educator in me is like, who would care about these animals? What animals would people even know about if zoos didn't exist? Because we're talking about a California condor that people have seen at zoos and learned about at zoos, but if they didn't know it existed, they wouldn't care.
That's right.
Again, not seeing these animals up close, that's one of my favorite things that we do at the zoo is connect people with these species they've never heard of, they would never see. So I think, honestly, we'd be in a much worse place if zoos didn't exist, obviously, or we wouldn't work at a zoo. I believe in what we do. But there's also tons of research. You guys are aware.
Yes.
Even our zoo participates in a lot of research with animals that we have access to. Non-invasive research, of course, but things like studying their behavior, studying medical conditions, things like that, that we give the scientific community access to.
Yes, yes. So. You know, there's some really interesting medical research that's going on, especially with great apes right now. They're very similar to humans. And we're seeing a lot of very interesting research going on right now on heart conditions in great apes. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of studies right now on heart disease in great apes and the effects of heart disease in great apes and a lot of long-term studies being done because we have great apes in zoos. And so we've participated in a lot of those long-term studies with organizations that are taking that data, analyzing that data. And it's interesting. A lot of our great apes are on some of the same medications that humans take for heart disease, like Lipitor and things of that sort. So it's kind of funny that we see those very same similarities in great apes and humans. And we're seeing some of the same long-term disease
diseases mm-hmm. now start to pop up in great apes that we saw in humans because they're living longer lives. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of similarities there and a lot of research benefits that we're seeing in those long-term studies.
And another thing about research benefits, there's a lot of information that we are able to once we find it out in animals, deduce and attach them or apply them to humans. So, for instance, I know we were talking about hero rats at one point and how they are starting to be trained to smell and detect cancer in people. Or you've got venomous snakes who some
Thank you for bringing them up. I was sitting here thinking about snakes.
Yes, venomous snakes. And
as
some
usual.
as your purr. Yeah. That, you know, their venom can be used as medicine. So
Absolutely.
If we didn't have zoos that had those captured animals for us to be able to, you know, use that information that in the data that we collect, how would it impact human health, you know, and humans being able to hopefully get better with diseases. So.
And the education that we're able to do with the community about those things, too. I love when you were talking about the hero rats. Tell us a little bit more about the hero rat, because I love this story.
I'm going to defer to our animal
expert. Okay, I was like, go ahead, Joy.
We are deferring to the expert on this one.
Okay, sure. So this is a pouched rat from Africa, also called a hero rat. These rats have been trained to sniff out landmines in war-torn areas of Africa, which is amazing. They are saving lives, obviously. They're too light to set off the mines, so they can go sniff them out. And they also can detect certain diseases like tuberculosis. So very cool what you can teach a rat to do.
Right?
I mean, how would you know that if you didn't have them in human care?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And it's just fantastic to tell that story and for us to be able to tell that story at the zoo and to people who come to the zoo to show the incredible superpowers of animals and to let people know about animals. And it would be tragic if we didn't have zoos to be able to educate people about the wonderful world of animals. And, you know, too, zoos are really important places just for communities to come together and for families to be able to have a place for recreation. And how sad would it be if we didn't have zoos for that very important function? You know, we do a lot of things that don't even involve animals, really, like these wonderful special events like we have, like Glow Wild, where we have lanterns that are beautiful and that are at night and that glow. And we had 40,000 people just at our zoo alone last year for that. You know, wonderful things that we do to serve the communities. There's so many functions that zoos serve that really just make it a great place to be.
For sure. You were talking about other reasons for the zoo. I can think of because of where the Little Rock Zoo is situated in the city of Little Rock. We're right near hospitals. And we have a lot of people who are unfortunately going for treatments at the various hospitals who use the zoo as kind of their little respite from, you know, having that treatment for that day. Or maybe their child is having treatment and they need just a little bit of a space to kind of be in a different place for a little while. And so I'm glad we're able to provide that at the zoo too.
Yeah, there's all kind of studies about how happy animals make humans just in general, just being able to be around animals, your own pets. I know I'm going off on a little tangent here because this has nothing to do with the zoo, but animals bring joy to people and that's no small thing.
I think that's such a great point, the joy that animals bring us. And there's just something about seeing an animal in person rather than seeing an animal on your iPhone or your Android, for those Android users out there, or just seeing it on TV, seeing it on any kind of electronic device, it's just different than if you're seeing it in person. And so being able to see an animal in person is so much more impactful. And that's really the value, I think, that AZA-accredited zoos bring to the table, is being able to see those animals in person. It's just so incredibly wonderful.
And then on the flip side, too, because I feel like a lot of things we've said, you know, are kind of like the human benefit, but also for the animal benefit, for the world, you know, we do kind of have an arc, if you will, of animals that if ever they were to have shrinking numbers, we've got, you know, genetically vetted animals that are going to be healthy and strong and genetically diverse so that we can start up again other species if they were able to, you know, if their numbers were declining. And that's a good thing. That's a benefit for the animals too, not just, you know, from the human to the animal, but animal to human.
Not to mention just the money we drum up for animal conservation. Isn't it true that zoos bring in like more money than all sporting events combined, or is it more attendance? There's some fact like that.
It is true. And we last year, AZA-accredited zoos donated around $200 million to organizations that are helping animals in the wild, which is pretty incredible when you think about that number. That's a big number.
That would be gone if we didn't exist.
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. We would be gone. That would be gone.
And we might be too.
That's right. No, we might be too.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we might be too.
And to that effect, what if we never worked at the zoo? What if we had never met?
Oh. Well, that would be very
I'd be
sad.
A lot hungrier when I go to places. I would have never had the fine dining I've had with Susan. I would have never heard the amazing jokes I've heard from you. Those are just a few
Just a few of those things.
Just a few of the things.
I have to say, I've always been a curious person. Tell me a factoid and I'm all about it. But to be able to hear from people who are passionate about the animals that they work with, like you and some of your colleagues, and to then actually get to see that animal, whether it's a ferret or a bearded dragon or hear a rat, and like, it's like, okay, this fact is interesting, but here is the animal who possesses this thing. That is amazing to me. And for someone who's always been interested in just stuff, that's just, it just lights me up. So I would miss that piece of curiosity if I didn't work at the zoo.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, you know, I came from a profession that I was in communication, but I wasn't in anything zoo specific. And I've had to learn everything over these last few years from professionals like Hannah. So I would be missing a huge part of that if it wasn't for being at the zoo. And so I'm so appreciative for people like Hannah to be able to gain the knowledge that I've gained from learning from you.
I like how y'all's examples were super serious and thoughtful, and mine were like snacks and jokes.
Right, snacks and jokes. Food.
It's a spectrum.
Spectrum.
That's why you keep me around.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's why we love Hannah. She's always got the jokes, always got the snacks, too.
And
I sure do always have the snacks.
I really do.
If I'm at the office and I need some food, I will stroll by Hannah's office and be like, you got a snack?
I have a whole snack table in my office.
She really does.
I don't want to be hangry. That's you don't
right.
want that either.
No one does.
We appreciate that about you. We really do. Yes.
What do you all think we would miss about maybe the animals or the team or the mission of the zoo if we weren't working at the zoo?
No, nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I can't think of anything. No, so for me, animals, like I said, they bring joy. Mm-hmm. They are a huge part of my identity, too, at this point. I don't know who I would be if not for the animals that have shaped my life, to get serious for a second, because I would be a completely different person. I would not be as happy. I can tell you that right now. Yeah. They do a lot for me mentally.
Hmm.
I would not be who I am today, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say what I would miss about the team is the teamship. Mm-hmm. I've worked at other places, and you know, other places people have their roles, and you do what you need to do. But at our zoo in particular, you may have somebody whose job is role A, and your role is role D, but that person has no problem jumping into your lane and helping you. And literally from putting up chairs to calling a person on your behalf or getting in their car to go get something from a place for you. And that is something I'd never experienced before. Like all hands on deck. Seriously.
Yeah, and these are passionate people.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think when you work in an environment like this where people are so dedicated to a cause and so dedicated to a mission of conservation and working to save species, you just have individuals that are so committed and so passionate all the time that it really builds a camaraderie mm-hmm. that everyone gets committed and everyone gets so behind something that you yourself get committed to that cause. And that builds a really strong camaraderie that you want to be a part of every single day. It gives you a reason to wake up in the morning and want to show up. And then you want to show up even more for the people that are there and for the cause that's there, which is the animals.
Mm-hmm. How many do you all think of visitors or kids or animals have been touched by our place at the Little Rock Zoo?
A lot. So I can think of specific examples that I could go into for hours, but we've had kids that I have seen that were quiet, withdrawn, shy, that we let them do something simple like our hornbill mayhem. We let a kid point and put him in the crate because he's trained to go into the crate. And that kid was like, I'm going to grow up and save animals. It's so sweet. So I've seen that time and time again, that one tiny thing probably that kid's going to remember forever and could have at best altered the whole course of his life, mm-hmm. which is yeah. crazy awesome to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. we see examples every single day on the very minute level, but then we see the large example. I mean, we have 300,000 people that come through our gates every single year, and so we can say on the large macro level there's that, but then there's the very small minute examples that Hannah mentioned. I always use this example of a child that was from Children's Hospital that came to visit us one time who had just undergone cancer treatment and was learning to walk again. And the doctor had asked us if he could come to visit a penguin. And we said, absolutely. And his muscles were very weak from the cancer treatment. And he was learning to walk again with the doctor by his side and his family by his side. So they wheeled him in the wheelchair. And we brought out one of our ambassador penguins to meet him. And he was so excited to meet the penguin that he jumped up from the wheelchair, walked over to the penguin, and you know, the mother and the doctor just started bawling their eyes out because he had jumped up from the wheelchair and started walking on his own, which mm-hmm. is something they were trying to get him to do more of. But the penguin is what motivated him to do so. Mm-hmm. And so just that little example, that little thing sparked that love in him and that motivation in him. And so that's a medical example of something that happened in a child. And so we see little things like that happen all the time, too, that show the importance of why zoos matter. So it's everything from conservation to making someone healthier to bridging the gap between families and making families stronger to encouraging communities to grow stronger. There's so many things that are great about our zoo. Mm-hmm.
I was doing a penguin chat the other day. And I like to feel like I know a decent amount about penguins, all right? I've worked with them for 14 years now. I know a few
Your
things.
Job.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing. This kid came up to me after the I was in the middle of the chat, not after the chat. And he told me that he knows more about penguins than I do. And yep, I said, yep. All right, cool. Well, how did I do? he was like, you did all right.
You did all right.
So yeah. I'm just saying there are some experts yeah. out there and somebody there sparked that interest at some
right.
point.
That's right. So, that's right. Hey, there are some kids that know more about us than these animals.
I hope
there
he works not. At our zoo one day because I could
right.
use someone with that much knowledge.
There you go. There you go.
And speaking about kids and the connection to the zoo, I have been touched by how many children have, like, for their birthdays, so that they didn't want presents, that they wanted people to donate to the zoo. And I just, you
that's
know,
so
that's
sweet.
Kind of one of the things that yeah. we are working towards, because we've always said that if you can make that animal connection as a human, how if you begin to care about an animal, you can become empathetic to other people around
you. Of
course,
yes.
And so, you know, this is one way to hopefully to wax a little cheesy, just to make the world a better place. You
yes.
know, that if kids are being exposed to exposed to animals that they then care about, you know,
yep.
hopefully they,
yep.
that care will translate to their neighbors
Absolutely.
And to
Absolutely.
The other kids
yes.
in their classroom. So that's something that's exciting to see at the zoo, that you wouldn't think that people are just there to see the animals, but hopefully something a little bit deeper is happening.
Yes.
I love that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to wrap it up, we have learned that no matter how strong, fast, or amazing animals are, they still need our help. And thanks to partners like the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and also some of our nonprofit partners like the Arkansas Zoological Foundation, and also people like you, we can make sure that they have the homes and the habitats to keep showing off their superpowers. So we have learned a lot today about yeah. animals, superpowers, conservation, the importance of zoos, haven't
mm-hmm.
we, Joy?
Yeah, we have.
And Hannah.
Yeah,
we
have. So I think we need to keep asking ourselves, what if, and use the answer to help continue to protect our wild neighbors.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll see you next time on That's Wild.